listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of each one of our hearts, be always acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm afraid that the immediate response, did you catch that in the text? Immediately. I'm afraid that the immediate, that quick response of Andrew and Peter, James and John is more a feature of Matthew, the gospel writer, than what might have actually happened. Matthew's text says that they immediately left their nets and followed after Jesus. They just dropped it all right there, which is both inspiring and, if we put ourselves into the text, it's pretty intimidating. Sometimes I wonder if it was a little more complicated than that. Do you? Some archaeological evidence is helping me confirm my concern. You always look for evidence to support your argument, right? See, the fishing business was a big business in that time. I've always tended to think fishing was this lower class job in that period of time. It was stinky and it was for people who didn't have a whole lot. But archaeologists and historians are showing us that fishing, of course, was actually quite lucrative. Because of the Roman Empire's presence all throughout the ancient Mediterranean world, there were trade channels everywhere, all through Galilee and through the rest of the ancient world, through Corinth. That was a super highway, really. So it meant that a fisherman was actually quite connected and well paid. So much so that it was not uncommon to become the family business. And we see that in our text today. Zebedee and Sons Fishing Company is what we're presented with. If fishing was such stinky, low-wage labor, I think it'd be much easier to follow after Jesus. Just like if we didn't have a whole lot going on, if we hated our jobs, if our families and friendships were really unimportant, if all our stuff, our homes, our cars, our valuables, our positions, our inside industry connections, if none of that really mattered to us, yeah, sure, we could drop the nets and follow Jesus too. As it turns out, I have many things. We all do in this context. Many nets, many fish, many relationships, many dollars, and many a healthy day left. Many blessings. Maybe I should title the first part of this sermon, "When Our Blessings Become Our Excuses." I mean, I'm supposed to be a good steward of all the good things that I have. So many excuses that, frankly, makes me want to believe it was easier back then for the disciples. They didn't have all the things that I have. If they did, they never would have risked it all. It was easier for them. They were just fishermen. But maybe I'm kidding myself. To leave behind their livelihoods, their connections, their relationships, just to follow Jesus. In a political and economic climate as harsh as the ancient Mediterranean world was just as frightening then and risky as it is today, if not more. What are your nets, friends in Christ? What are your nets? What are your excuses? What are your blessings that you are unwilling to yield? What do you need to drop in order to hear Christ's loving invitation even more fully this day? It doesn't have to just be physical things. Do you have obsessions that are getting in the way? Do you have relationships that are, let's just say, tanglesome? Do you have anger at something or someone? Something someone did to you maybe that's pulling you under? Anger at God maybe? What is the stuff that is holding you back from letting go and following this one who proclaims, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here and now"? Let's engage this a little bit more And I want you to write down a question. Do you have pens? I put some pens in the back there. Are there pens in your row? On that table back there are some pens. I want you to write a question down. So find some blank space. I think page 28 in your worship folder is blank this week. See that basket of pens there? Yeah, if anybody gets a pen, just raise your hand. All right, we're just going to engage this question I just asked a little bit more deeply. So I want you to write this down. Ready? Anybody get a pen? All right. A couple pens here. Thank you, Tim. All right. You can do this on your phone, too, if you want. You can type it on your phone. But what I encourage you to write it down. Plan to take this home with you. All right. Write this down. It's one thing to say you believe in Jesus, comma. It's one thing to say you believe in Jesus, comma. But what is it that's keeping you these days from following Jesus? It's one thing to say you believe in Jesus, but what is it these days that's keeping you from following Jesus? I.e., that is, what are your nets? It's one thing to say you believe in Jesus, but what is it that's keeping you these days from following Jesus? That is, what are your nets? Work on that just for a few seconds. Think about that for a few moments. What are your nets? It's a private question. We're not going to go sharing our answers here or at all. This is really between you and God. We're not going to drop these immediately up at the altar or burn them or anything like that either, actually. I want you to take these nets home with you today. Whatever your answer to these questions, what are your nets? What are these things that are holding you, keeping you from following Jesus? We're going to take these nets home. Live with that which is entangling you for a little bit longer. Hopefully you've named it. Maybe it's something you need to spend a little more time thinking about. What is it that's keeping you from following Jesus? It's good to name it. Now live with it for a little bit more. Acknowledge that nets can be a companion, actually. They probably have been with you for a long time. Even our unhealthy habits stay with us like companions. Maybe it's our anger or our overconsumption or our destructive relationships. These things, even while we know they're not good, can become like friends, like walking partners, because it's what we know. So to leave that would be difficult. It'd be letting go of something that we really know well. So take your nets home with you today. This is different than what happened in the story where they left them immediately. Take them home with you, and in time, maybe it's later today, maybe it's later this week or in a month, maybe this is a practice for Lent for you. You're starting to think already about Lent, which doesn't start till the end of February. But it's good to kind of just prep ourselves. These are some of the nets that I'm going to work on letting go of. Start to let go of those. Start to put those down. And God will give you the strength. Nets. I wonder about the nets that the disciples were carrying too, long after they put down their physical nets. What were their doubts? What were their fears? What were their angers or their childhood wounds, to use a modern day term? What were they hanging on to? Even after they got up and put their physical nets down and got on the road with Jesus. See, we can engage this text, I think, on many levels. There is a lot here for us. The beginning still. It's still the beginning of a new year. But the bottom line, friends in Christ, is this. The bottom line is that Christ calls us today. Christ calls you from the safety of your nets, from the familiarity with your nets, from the security of your boats. Jesus calls you from your blessings and your burdens and pains and invites you, invites all of us. Actually, invite is too soft a word. Jesus commands us. It's a command. We soften it because we don't want to put anybody out. Jesus commands us, though, to follow, to plunge into deeper waters and rockier roads of ministry. And everything we do is ministry. All we do is ministry as we work in the office, as we parent our children, as we drive our cars, and as we bake our bread. All is ministry, and Christ is calling each of us deeper. It's not that you're not doing ministry in so many ways right now, but Christ is always calling us deep. That's why you're here today, because Christ has a deeper call for you. I don't care if you were dragged here by your mother. That's God working through her. You're here today, and Christ has a deeper call for you. And sisters and brothers in Christ, while this plunging deeper talk might sound difficult and frightening, and it is certainly risky, this is God's gift of grace for us today. This is the gift for us today. This is God's love, grace at work in many and mysterious ways. This command is grace. God is offering us a richer life in following Jesus deeper. Following Jesus, it looks different for each of us. The specificity of what that call looks like for you, it becomes clearer when we start to let go of all the baggage, all the nets. But I trust it looks something like this. I trust it has to do with deeper connections. As we plunge into Christ's call, I think it's about deeper connections. Deeper connections with our neighbors, those we know and those we don't know as well. Deeper connections with the earth, with the garden, if you will, that God gave us to take care of. Deeper connections even with our own bodies. It's all a gift today. This is salvation, in fact. This is salvation. It's not just about after we die. Salvation, this is God's offering us our integrity and our health in this summons. The word salvation, of course, it comes from the Latin salvus, which is always about wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. It's about healing and health. This is a gift being offered to each of us. So many of us live divided lives, hidden secrets, immense baggage from past experiences. And we tend to pad that pain with stuff. We tend to busy our lives so much that we don't have to hear Christ's command. Sometimes we can't even hear it. There's too much padding. There's too much to do. But Christ is beckoning again this day. Drop that stuff. Drop that stuff and follow me. Drop that stuff and follow me. Let's go fish for people. We're going to plunge into the world, Jesus says, and find the lost ones and the lonely ones. We're going to plunge into that world and find those who are stuck. They're just stuck in their ways and they're trapped. We're going to plunge into the world and find those who are angry and those who are sad and those who are hopeless. Jesus says to us, we're going to pull them out of the depths of despair. Death itself. That's what we're going to do, Jesus says. And Jesus is inviting us, commanding us to follow in that way. And in that, on that journey, we find this radiance of God's grace and God's mercy. How about it? Jesus says. It's no wonder there's not lots and lots of followers of Jesus. This is tough stuff. This is a rocky road, but that's the kind of fishing we're going to go and do now. And I am here with you, Jesus assures us. As you leave your abundance and your pain, as you leave your lucrative busyness and all the noise in your lives, Your determination to be secure, as you let it go, I'll be here, Jesus promises, holding you and calling you this day to come and follow again. The road will be rocky. The seas will be choppy. But when we are held in the arms of Christ, there is true peace. Paul talked about the peace that passes all human understanding. And that peace is yours, even today. Even now. Even before you drop anything and decide to follow. But let's begin to let go of those nets. That's the gift. God's got you. And Christ's peace pours down over you this day and forever. Forever. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.